All right. Title today's message, Love. What's love got to do with it? How you doing this morning? Ah, there we go. Got some help here. Can you say that real loud? Amen. How you feeling in your physical body? That should be your answer. Because it is a truth. It is a truth. Your body's going to speak to you, but you can speak to your body. One more question. Does God love you? Christy. Yes! That's the way you should be answering that. Why are you holding back? Does God love you?
Yes!
That's better. That sounded like you had a lot of confidence in it that time. Because that is a truth. That is a fact. He loved you so much, he sent his only begotten Son to be crucified on a cross to atone for your sins and mine. But believe me, I had a lot of them. And do I walk sin-free? No. I screw up, folks. I got to go before him and repent. But you know what? He is faithful to forgive us. That's what his word says. So don't ever question that God loves you. If you get that thought that he doesn't, you know where it came from. It came from the devil, who is, by the way, the father of lies, false accusations. Just think where it comes from. See, because there's nothing that can separate you from his love. Right? Turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. We're going to read verses 38 and 39. New King James. I'll clarify when I use the different versions. Verse 38. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing. Nothing can separate you from that. When you said yes to Jesus and asked him to be your Lord and your Savior, you became part of God's family. You're a child of the Most High God. You're a child of the King. What's that make you?
King's kid.
So you are a King's kid. And you are also an heir. You're a joint heir with Christ. Go ahead and say it. Say, I am a joint heir with Christ.
I am a joint heir with Christ.
What he has, you have. What he's entitled to, you're entitled to. Don't let your head get in the way. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. Say that. Say, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. All because God loves you. And we respond to his love with love. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 19 of the New King James says, we love him because he first loved us. He first loved us. See, when you are shown love, compassion, kindness, and understanding, you will respond back with the same. Sometimes you may not see that right away, but you keep showing the love and the compassion, and that individual that you're showing it to will have a change of heart. Turn to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22. And we're going to read verses 36 through 40. See, when Jesus was asked by the Pharisees, you know, which commandment was the greatest in the law? And there were some 600 laws. Well, here's how Jesus responded to that. Verse 36. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus said to him, oh, you who are so smart and have studied the law all these years, you don't really know the answer to that? Well, let me enlighten you. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And by the way, and if you don't know, the second is just like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law of the prophets. Jesus had to straighten his thinking out. Come on. Jesus is saying, if you really love God and our neighbor, we will naturally keep the commandments. See, instead of worrying about what we should do, we should concentrate on all we can do to show our love to God and others. Turn to John, John chapter 4. John chapter 4. Verses 7 through 10. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. God is the source of our love. He loved us so much, He sacrificed His own Son for us. Verse 9, in this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. In this is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Message Bible. Verse 7. My beloved friends, let us continue to love each other, since love comes from God. And that same love says, the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, who was given to us. That's in Romans 5:5. That same love is in you, because the Spirit lives in you. You're all born again, right? All in the Holy Spirit's in you. So the love of God is in you. Verse 8. Everyone who loves is born of God and experiences a relationship with God. The person who refuses to love doesn't know the first thing about God, because God is love. So you can't know Him if you don't love. This is how God showed His love for us. God sent His only Son into the world so that we might live through Him. This is the kind of love we are talking about. Not that once upon a time loved God, but that we loved, that He loved us and sent His Son as a sacrifice to clear away our sins and the damage they've done to our relationship with Him. He didn't do anything to damage the relationship. He loves you. Even when you were a sinner, He loved you. Or He wouldn't have sent His Son for you to rescue you. From what? Eternal death. And to bring healing. Bring healing. God's love for us made the way. The only way. Through His Son to what? To reestablish our relationship with Himself. The Holy Spirit gives us the power to love. He lives in our hearts. And that love is the love of God. That love is called agape love. It's unconditional, folks. Unconditional. Do you love that way? God does. Can you love that way? Yes, you can, because the same love is shed abroad in your hearts. Don't say you can't. Say, yes, I can. Because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13, the New Living Translation says, these three things will last forever: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. Faith is the foundation and content of God's message. Hope is the attitude and the focus. Love is the action. When faith and hope are in line, we are free to love completely because you understand how God loves. You know, there have been a lot of secular songs written about love. Right? The Beatles. All you need is love, right? How many times all you need is love? But they didn't know what kind of love they were talking about. They weren't talking about the love of God, because none of them were saved at the time they wrote that song. All you need is love. Then you had Joe Cocker. Remember him? Dave, come on, guys. I know a lot of death. Okay. He had a song called Love Lifts You Where You Belong. Then we got Whitney Houston. Now, she was a good born-again Christian. But the song called Their Greatest Love of All wasn't for him when she sang it. And then there's the one that I mentioned last week by Tina Turner. Oh, what's love got to do? Got to do with it. What's love got and but a secondhand emotion? What's love got to do? Got to do with it? Who needs a heart when a heart can be broken? And what seems like true love has broken a lot of hearts. But see, the love of God, the agape love, the true essence of love that God offers us has healed many a broken heart. In fact, everyone it has ever come in contact with. Amen. So what's love got to do with it? Everything when it comes to our God. Everything. You can turn to 1 Corinthians, and we're going to look to chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Now I'm going to read from the ERV, easy read version. And it follows pretty close with the New King James. But it's just a little different. Verses 1 through 7. The Apostle Paul. I may speak in different languages, whether human or even of angels. But if I don't have love, I am only a noisy bell or a ringing cymbal. I may have the gift of prophecy. I may understand all secrets and know everything there is to know. And I may have faith so great that I can move mountains. But even with all this, if I don't have love, I'm nothing. I may give away everything I have to help others. And I may even give my body as an offering to be burned. But I gain nothing by doing all this if I don't have love. If I don't have love, what's love got to do with it? Verse 4, love is patient. Think about that. Exercise patience, folks. Love is kind. Love is not jealous. Mm-mm. It does not brag. It is not proud. Good. Yeah. No, it's not proud. And love is not rude. You got to watch your words, how you speak to people. You may not think so, but sometimes you're just plain rude. You may not even realize it. You go into a restaurant and you got somebody serving you. That's their job, their responsibility. They have to make a living. You don't know what it's been like for them for that day. Something goes or they're not moving fast enough for you. How are you supposed to act? Rude? Rude to them? I don't think so. Because that's not how love is. But yet, I've seen it. I've seen it happen. I've been in restaurants and witnessed and sit down and think, man. And I watched someone, especially that server, walk away broken and crying. Broken and crying. Maybe I should have got up and ripped that person a new up. Sorry. You know, but, okay, I didn't. But the point is, you know, it's love, how you respond. So you don't want to be rude when you're out there. And it's not selfish. No, it's not selfish. It's not all about you. Remember, it's not always all about you. And it can't be made angry easily. Because, believe me, I know a lot. And I used to have one. It was like a stick of dynamite. You put it down, there was no fuse. Boom! It went off. And now you stop and you think, well, was I that easily made angry? And when you look at it, what you were angry about was stupid. And then you look at yourself and you say, wow, that ain't walking in love. Well, we got to grow in that love. So it's not made angry easily. Love does not remember wrongs done to it. Do you know how many have come against God and used his name in vain and everything else like that? And when you come to him, he forgets it and he doesn't remember it. He doesn't remember the wrongs done to him. That's what we should do. Don't remember those wrongs. All they'll do is keep coming up in your thought process. And as you keep coming up in the thought process, you keep entertaining them more and more and more. Because the head gets in the way. The head gets in the way of our hearts way too many times. Love is never happy when others do wrong, but it is always happy with the truth. I know you've been there and you've watched somebody do something wrong. And you've watched them. And it saddens you. But when you see somebody that's honest and say, man, I screwed up. Sorry about what I did. They're being truthful. They're being honest with that person. And they're seeking their forgiveness. And hopefully that person is going to say, I understand. I forgive you. That's how easily Jesus did. They were driving nails in his hand, and he said, forgive them. For they know not what they do. Can somebody drive a nail in your hand, and you say, forgive them, for they know not what they do? Love never gives up on people. God has never given up on any of us.
Amen.
Never.
I'm
so thankful he never gave up on me. He kept putting the right people in front of me. People were praying for me. And finally, I quit stumbling and walked right into his arms on an Easter morning in 1987 because I learned who Jesus was. And I thought I knew Jesus to that morning. Then I had a great awakening in my heart. And I know who Jesus is. And that morning, I got saved to the bone. It never stops trusting. Never loses hope. Love never quits. First part of verse 8 says, love will never end. Because God is love. God has been there for a long, long time, upon thousands of generations, and he's going to be there for a long time. Amen. So you think love's going to be around? Yeah, for a long, long time. Love. Some of you teachers in here, I thought of you when I came across this, and because I know your hearts. I see how you react with these young children in school. Okay? And this is about a teacher who was helping one of her kindergarten students put on his boots. This is wintertime and it's cold. Okay? Well, he was sitting on the floor trying to pull on his boots. And he asked his teacher for help. She got down on her knees. And with her pulling and him pushing, the boots still wouldn't go on. But together, they got the boots on. And when the second boot was finally on, she had worked up a sweat. She almost whimpered when the little boy said, "Teacher, they're on the wrong feet." She looked, and sure enough, they were. It wasn't any easier pulling the boots off than it was putting them on. She managed to keep her cool as together they worked to get the boots back on, this time on the right feet. Then he announced, "They aren't my boots." She bit her tongue rather than get right in his face and scream, "Why didn't you say so?" like she wanted to. Once again, she struggled to help him pull the ill-fitting boots off. He then said, "They're my brother's boots. My mom made me wear them." She didn't know if she should laugh or cry, but she mustered up the grace and courage she had left to wrestle the boots on his feet again. She said, "All right," as she stood him up, put his jacket on, said, "Where are your mittens?" He said, "I stuffed them in my boots." Love is patient. Love is kind. Love cannot be made angry easily. Amen? Amen. Believe me, you teachers, I understand. In the fast-paced world we live in, we have what? Facebook? We have Instagram, and we have Twitter. Never in the history of the world has there ever been more avenues or devices to communicate with or on. Everyone wants to get the word out. Everyone wants to say their piece or speak their mind. Everyone has a cause and a message. Everybody wants to have a following and to make sure what they're saying that people are listening to. But of all the stuff, all the things that we hear and read about, especially on the news and on the net, because I know a lot of you are on the net, where's the positive message? Where is the love in the message? See, I believe that there has never been a time when people have been more on the edge than there is today. Tempers are short. Patience is thin. If there is any at all. Our time seems to be more valuable than everyone else's, or so we think. And if you think about it, our time is the most valuable possession because it's the one thing that we have so little of, And the one thing we can't control, how much we have. There's 24 hours in a day. If this helps out, there's 1,440 minutes in a day. Makes it sound a little longer, huh? And then how about there's 86,400 seconds in a day. Wow, that's a lot of time. But it comes down, it's 24 hours. And it's the one thing that everybody hates to waste, too. Do you know that between a gold and a silver medal in the Olympics, it's determined by hundreds of a second. Hundreds of a second. And if you watch last year, the previous one, you'll see some of them were even closer than that. And then you have NASCAR racers. Those races are determined by hundreds of a second. Hundreds of a second. There are machines flying around there towards a finish line at over 200 miles an hour, side by side, banging each other. And the only thing that's dividing is hundreds of a second going down that track to the finish line. The same as drag racing. It's determined by seconds. In fact, down to hundreds of a second. And those machines are flying. Like I say, time. We don't want to waste it. No, we don't want to waste our time. Unless it's somebody else's time. Yeah. Turn to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. And we're going to read verse 14. James chapter 4, verse 14, Amplified Classic. Yet you do not know the least thing about what may happen tomorrow. What is the nature of your life? You are really but a wisp of vapor, a puff of smoke, a mist that is visible for a little while and then disappears into thin air. Time. Time is precious. So with so little of it and the preciousness of it, what are we doing with it? And why aren't we doing more with our time? See, we should be spending more of our time with the Lord, worshiping and praising Him. Worshiping and praising Him. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. See, time with Him is time well spent. The time you invest with Him secures an eternal future in heaven with Him, but also will pay great dividends right now in this life. You will enjoy an abundant life. Jesus said so. Isn't that what He came for? In John 10:10, Amplified Classic Edition, the second part of it, Jesus said, I came that you may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. Till it overflows. That's the life I want. And how do you get it? By praising and worshiping Him. Priority, priority, priority. Because it's all about love. The Bible teaches us stewardship. Amen? So we need to be good stewards over our time. So we can all agree that we don't use our time wisely. We waste it on a lot of the wrong things. You know, and sometimes we don't use it for anything at all because we're lazy. Lazy. Yeah. We just want to veg out. How about not vegging out? How about communicating to him in that time. It'd be better time well spent. Because the other time, when you start vegetating, guess what? The head starts clicking, and it starts bringing all these thoughts into your head that you don't need to have. And you start to entertain them, and then you start to speak in them, and then you start to believe in them. You believe in the lies of the accuser, the father of lies. You gave an opportunity for him to come in and enter into your head. And you a miserable camper. And you ain't going to fall asleep at night comfortable, are you? You're going to lay in bed and toss and turn and never fall asleep. Because you're taking all those thoughts in your head. Start praising and worshiping him. When those thoughts start coming, just start praising God. Let him bring the peace that you need. And then you'll be able to get yourself back on track with him. And that's when you start thanking him. Thanking him. And saying, yes, Lord, I know. I need to get back with you. I need to make sure that I'm established in understanding our relationship. Yes, it is our relationship. And I want to strengthen that relationship with you, Lord God. And the only way I can do that is by spending this time right now talking to you. Talking to you as though you're sitting there right beside me. And I can look you face to face and ask you, Lord God, the help that I need. And I know that you'll give me that help that I need to get through this. And I'll take those thoughts captive. Right? And that's what we're supposed to do. See, so we should not be trying to schedule time with the Lord. We should be making time with him our number one priority. He should be in the first time slot of your schedule when you wake up. First time slot when you wake up. Thank you, Shirley. I still wake up to that beside my bed. And some mornings, yeah, I need that. Because what's it say? Jesus loves you. Yeah. Morning, Jack. Jesus loves you. Yeah. You're right, Lord. You love me. No matter what, you love me. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your love. There's a song by Larnell Harris. It's called, I Miss My Time With You. And it's God saying in the song, I miss my time with you. Those moments together. I need to be with you each day. And it hurts me when you say, you're too busy. Don't be too busy. He wants to hear from you. To spend time with you, he loves you. He wants to have an intimate, loving relationship with you. Our love is to be for him, not for material things. And not for money. Turn to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy. Chapter 6, verse 10. It's the Apostle Paul, and he's warns Timothy about the love of money. The love of money. It says, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Didn't say all evil, it says all kinds. There's a lot of different kinds of evil out there. But it's not the. And some people craving money have wandered from the true faith and pierced themselves with many sorrows. I'm sorry, that was New Living Translation. Have you watched the news lately? And if you have, you know what I'm talking about. We have extortion. We have bribery. We have fraud. We have lying. Lying. And the list goes on. You just turn the news on and you start taking a count of them, and you go, wow, is that what this world's come to? Yeah, it has. But see, you're not part of it. As a believer, you're not part of it. Mm-mm. You're part of a greater kingdom, the kingdom of God. See, money is not bad. However, the love of it is. See, never has there been more things to do and less money to do them with. Which leads everyone to want more of it. Mm-hmm. Which leads many down that pathway of entitlement thinking. Mm-hmm. So-and-so got that. I ought to have that. He has one of them. I deserve one of them. So I'm going to go out and I'm going to go into debt to get one. And you think you're happy because you got it. But now you've got a bill to pay. Now you've got to try and find the money to pay the bill and to pay for that item that you thought was going to make you so happy, and yet it's sitting in a garage collecting dust. Yeah. So don't get into that entitlement thinking. No. See, because the devil, if you haven't realized, has got society into the mindset thinking that the only, if they only have everything they wanted, and that's what we start saying, if we have everything we wanted, and how much we wanted, and had the bank account to go along with it, that we would all be happy campers. Not so. That is the furthest thing from the truth. Things don't make you happy. Things do not come in and replace love. Can never replace the love that God has for you. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 3 of the Message Bible says, if I give everything I own to the poor, and even go to the stake to be burned as a martyr, but I don't love, I've gotten nowhere. So no matter what I say, what I believe, and what I do, I'm bankrupt without love. Hey, does anybody remember the movie Jerry Maguire? Huh? It's about an agent trying to get a deal for a football player that he is representing. All right? And it seems as though he just couldn't come through. He couldn't come up with that sweet, sweet deal for that football player. And one of the famous lines that came from that movie was the football player saying, show me the money. Just show me the money. Show me the money. Right? Show me the love. Show me the money and I'll show you the love. Followed by the agent saying, show me the love and I'll show you the money. Mm-hmm. Money is not bad. However, the love of it is. The Bible tells us that of all the people in the Bible, and there are literally thousands to choose from, there was one who was a man after God's own heart. And that was David. Because God himself said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will do my will. David would do God's will because David loved, adored, and worshiped God. David had the true essence of what all Christians strive for. David had a real lifelong relationship with the Creator of the universe. What we got there, Kyle? Folks, we're going to stop right there and we'll pick this up next Sunday.